Are you doing the intro?
I hope so.
Woof, woof,
I hope you are.
Woof, woof, woof. I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary glitch inside your brain with a combination of battle knowledge and technological tabulations, hoping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
And something about BipCot, too.
Yeah, BipCot, no government. BipCat, no government license from BipCot.org.
Oh, and thanks for the stickers, by the way.
Prevents reuse.
Why haven't mine got here yet? I'm like the only one left.
I know, man. I'm about to send out like the other ones next week, and you haven't even got the first ones, man.
New York is standing on their version of socialism.
Yeah, socialism for packages. The United States Post Office. Chandler, what did you get, and what did you think of it?
I got the new BipCot no government license blue logo stickers. And
how many?
A lot. I just opened the envelope this afternoon before I took a nap, and yeah, it's cool, man.
I really am liking stickers because I can send up to 10 of them for one stamp, like one 46-cent stamp, whereas
nice.
Buttons, you know, I send out 10 buttons. And that costs like $2.73 or something. So
what? I'm one little pack of buttons? That's insane.
Yeah, and buttons cost me like 50 cents each to have made, and I end up giving a lot of them away. Stickers cost like 24 cents each to have made, the 3-inch nice-looking stickers. So I'm still going to have buttons, but I'm gonna do a lot more with stickers, and I'm going to get more designs made. The buttons, I think I'm going to only sell. I've been giving them away a lot, but I think, are you chopping up lines of like
no.
Trump's dandruff there? What are you doing?
No. Oh, just packing some smokes.
Oh, okay. Some other drug. Yeah. Some other horribly disfiguring drug, not Trump's dandruff.
That one's the worst.
I'm going to make fun of that guy hard and make fun of Hillary hard because one of them is going to be president and they both hate free speech. They're both going to like make it so that you get thrown in a pit if you make fun of them. So, you know, I saw this cartoon today. It kind of sums up how I feel. It was a guy, you know, in a suit in an office doing a job interview. And the person interviewing him says, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And he says, "Probably climbing a fence in the middle of the night to get into Mexico."
I saw that one. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it kind of hit me today. Like all we do on the Freedom Fiends all day long is make fun of politicians and talk about, you know, and talk realistically about how government does way more harm than good. It ruins lives, and it's just sociopaths and people with small members who want to control other people. People with small members like Trump and Hillary, and they just want to ruin lives, man. They want to control people, and you know, without government, the world would not look like Mad Max. It would probably look more like, you know, some utopian distant future, but there'd be guns everywhere. And the first few days of it would be kind of sporty. There would be, you know, the first few days without government.
Actually, intervention. I think I think it would take longer than that. I mean, what you're describing. What you were about to describe, I think would happen at some point. But
yeah,
I've said this before when my counter argument to people who say that, you know, you take away government and just chaos would ensue right away. I've said for quite a while that in the cities, like the major cities, things would deteriorate in a hurry because so many people are reliant on the stuff that the city has, that the state has a monopoly on. That in like the rural areas, like much of the Midwest, for example, I don't think people would notice for a while.
I know. I don't live in the Midwest, but I kind of live in the best of both worlds for that. So if survival wise, if the government disappeared overnight, Jeremy would be way out of luck because he's pretty near New York City and people would just fan out looking for food and people.
I'd have to get off the island in a hurry. That would be my goal.
Yeah, Long Island would not be the place to be. I'd be pretty much okay. I live in Casper, Wyoming, which is about 50,000 people, but it's like armed people that largely work for a living, and it's far enough away from Denver. Like Cheyenne would be ruined because people would fan out from Denver. The gangs would fan out from Denver and decimate Cheyenne like locusts. But
do you really think the Denver police would do that?
Denver police.
Well, you said the gangs would fan out.
Yeah. Oh, I think some of the worst gangs after a government collapse, or if the government, if people just stop paying attention to it in America, I think the worst gangs would be the government employees that no longer have power, because I think a lot of police, not all of them, but I think a lot of police would immediately turn to like violence to feed their families. And they have the weapons to do it. They have the keys to the armory that holds the Raptor vehicles and the bombs and where did the Dallas police get C4? Do they just have some sitting around in a closet? Probably when they killed that guy with a Roomba with a stick of dynamite on it.
A Roomba with a stick of
No, it was a bomb disposal robot with a pound of C4. But where did they get C4? Police aren't supposed to have C4, but they had some. Apparently. So my saying when people say who would build the roads without the government is the roads are already built. They just have to be maintained. But you know what? I think if the government went away and the paychecks went away, I think the government agents who have access to C4 would start blowing up the roads to like make their predictions come true. I don't think they'd let it just transition over to the market.
Yeah, I don't think they would take it well. Some people would, the lower level employees that just are there for the paycheck eventually would just be like, well, I got to do something else.
The clerks
now
at the county courthouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're all married to cops, though.
A lot of them, unfortunately, definitely around here. I think you're correct that the people that have the authoritative positions right now, like the cops, maybe even some of the military, the politicians definitely would all panic and would immediately, like the politicians would be calling every cop they ever knew and say, hey, can you still be on my side? Can you help me?
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to most likely get strung up somewhere in that situation for all the pain they've caused over the years.
But it kind of hit me today. Like, wow, the next president of the United States is going to be either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Like, horrifying, like turd sandwich versus giant douche. Yeah, and tomorrow I'll go back to my usual, like, it doesn't matter. I saw an interview with Doug Stanhope the other day, like the only comedian who's like truly anarcho-libertarian. He's not one of these like Joe Rogan who's like libertarian but gets really upset about primaries and votes and stuff. And votes for like non-libertarians,
and he's very protective of the cops usually.
Yeah. Well, because he lifts weights with them, and they inject each other's butts with steroids down at the gym. But Doug Stanhope is true. Like, I saw an interview with him from Reason Magazine recently, which Reason Magazine are a bunch of like Beltway libertarian nerds. They're like, so who do you want in the upcoming election? Like, they Koch brothers financed Koch brothers. Yeah, they're doing the Koch brothers thing. So they're all nerds, and I don't like Reason Magazine much. And their involvement in Porkfest is the reason Porkfest is no fun, is not what it used to be.
Yep,
they're financing it now. But anyway, so like Doug Stanhope was great, regardless of that it was a Reason interview. And he said, he's like, he made a really good point. That this point is also made in that book I was talking about, the Redneck Manifesto. They both basically said the same thing. Like, no one I've ever voted for in my life has made any difference in my life. And Stanhope said it about presidents. Like, he's like, I don't vote anymore because, no president has ever directly affected me in any way. I kind of hope, if I have to choose one or the other, I guess I hope Trump wins, because as a comedian, he'll be better fodder. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, and you don't have to listen to that annoying voice of Hillary for 4 years. God,
I think whoever... Oh, he's annoying too, though. I think whoever wins, though, this is going to be... whoever wins, this is going to be more embarrassing for America, for the collectivists in America who care, to the rest of the world than George W. Bush was. Like, George W. Bush, I traveled to Europe when Bush was president, and I started telling people I was Canadian because people wanted to beat me up for this guy. I didn't vote in that election. I hadn't given up voting yet, but I just didn't care in that election, and I couldn't be bothered. And yeah, like, people wanted to beat me up because Bush was my president, as if like the guy traveling the trains with a backpack pack is the one like sending bombs to, you know, Iraq or whatever. But
I would say that's actually just a testament to how powerful stupid statism people is.
Yeah.
It's the collective mentality.
Well, yeah, because that's how they view their own governments. That, you know, that they're responsible for them.
People in France recently booed the Prime Minister of France when he walked up to a microphone, and the reason they were booing him was because he'd done nothing to stop that truck attack. What can you do to stop that kind of attack?
Well, you know, you got.
Well, they're I think that, and the answer to that, is what has given rise to the recent surges of nationalism you've seen both in the United States and in Europe with the Brexit vote and all that. You know, it's all anti-immigrant, particularly anti-Muslim, and it's the politicians are just playing off it. I don't understand, like, I don't even follow politics that much anymore. To me, it's all nonsense and it's all a joke, but even when I turn on the news when I go to work, and, you know, the local talk shows or whatever are playing, I just see how the talking heads and the politicians are playing the people, and they're giving right into it and feeding into it, and it astonishes me.
Well, I don't think that's anything new.
I would guess that truck killing, you know, driving through those crowd of people, it was probably blowback to France bombing civilians in Syria as a response to that shooting at that concert hall. And you know, I'm starting to really get kind of like, if I really told you guys what I think of Islam, it would probably sound kind of unlibertarian to you at this point, but it's kind of getting to the point where, like, how many people are going to murder random people in the name and say it's in the name of Islam, and have people still say, oh, it has nothing to do with religion?
But I don't think it does, man. I could talk
more when we get back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach, and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Guys, it's live radio. You have a clock, too, don't you, there, Chandler?
Yep, sure do.
This is a teaching hospital on the Freedom Fiends. If someone makes a mistake, we don't cover it up. We point it out. We amplify it. We put a magnifying glass on it and burn it like an ant.
We tell them, you were wrong.
And don't lose your show clock pie chart, because... Mine seems
I don't know what that is.
I use the pie chart. No, I still use the one that was created for us, which actually works well, because I have my atomic clock that Michael was nice enough to send me, but unfortunately, apparently, I'm too far away from the location because it's not accurate.
Yeah, Colorado. Yeah, me too, man.
I'm exactly 30, I think exactly 28 seconds behind or something like that.
Yeah, I'm about 42 seconds behind on mine.
Well, you could set it to online correct time, and it won't lose a lot of time even if it's not connecting. Have you ever set it to real time?
Yes.
Okay, and it loses it?
Mm-hmm. It does after a while. I only do shows like once every other week or whatever, so usually I have to reset it every time I do a show because by then it'll have lost about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I like to, you know, point out when someone does something wrong on radio and praise thing people when they do things right. Jeremy did some bad audio about a month ago and he's still not lived it down and to the point where there are now t-shirts, stickers, and buttons coming out that say bad audio is a hate crime, which is what I said to him on the air.
I know
he almost punched someone today for their bad audio.
Punched
someone for bad audio, I would first of all issue you a libertarian indulgence because you would be violating the non-aggression principle, but it'd be okay because I'm the only person that can issue these. They're BIPCOT libertarian indulgences. And second of all, I'd like to send you more buttons to thank you if you did that. That would raise your you're already looking good to me again because you went out and bought some audio gear and we're going to set it up when you get a new computer.
Yep.
But what happened? Show me where Danilo touched you on the doll.
Well, I didn't actually
I
almost.
The infinitive. Show me on the doll. Or did he touch your doll?
No, he did not touch my doll.
All right.
I didn't actually almost punch him because we were not in the same location, but I did threaten to because I had a conversation with him and my friend Dave, who I did the Seeds of Liberty podcast with earlier today, and I was trying to impart on them that I had sunk a little bit of money into some audio equipment, and I was trying to improve our overall quality because that is the biggest complaint we've ever received about our podcast, and I know it's gotten better, but there's still work that can be done, so I'm trying to do that, and he's just so blasé about these things. And I left him a message.
He's
about
like Eeyore,
this.
Huh?
Yeah, kind of. He's not. He doesn't have the voice down like I do. And I'm going to address that later too, actually.
Eeyore,
but yeah, the whole Eeyore thing. But anyway, so what happened was I was trying to explain to him and say, listen, you know, and I said the one complaint we've got about the podcast the most, people send me, they don't send it to the website. They send me personal messages, like people I don't know, but that are on my friends list. They're like, hey, I listen, and not for nothing, but what's up with this? And because it's usually his mic's distorted or Dave's mic's distorted. Mine's usually pretty good. But anyway, I said this and listen, I really want to make this better. And I used the term audio Nazi. And I said, you know, listen, I'm being groomed at the present moment. I like this type of stuff now. I want to make us better. His response was, Jeremy, I have a lot of things in my life, and unfortunately, making sure I have impeccable audio is not high on the priority.
Punch
and my immediate response was, I want to hit you now.
Yeah, no, you know what you need to do, Jeremy, is look up a bunch of my old podcasts on Blog Talk and make him listen to those. Then he'll appreciate good audio.
Well, I have an example for tonight. I was working on because I also edit Dave, my buddy Dave does another podcast with our friend Jared, who goes by the name Jerry One. He's a voluntarist rapper, and they do a show together that I edit for them. And they just started using Fiendphone, but the last episode I have of theirs wasn't on Fiendphone, and the two of them sounded great. And then they let somebody join the call halfway through who did not have headphones. And the hiss was beyond audible. Like, you heard it whenever one of them stopped speaking. And half the time when they were speaking, and I wasn't going to go through the trouble of fixing it that much. Yeah. So I said, I left them a message just before I came on the air. I said, guys, you both need to listen to this the entire way through and listen to the change, what happens when Anam enters the conversation. Because it's horrible, and this is what I want to avoid. And I haven't heard back from either of them yet. But
and
I did
threaten
to punch my friend.
there's really no excuse not to use Fiendphone. You guys know that my preferred computer is my Mac Pro, and we haven't ported the Fiendphone to Mac yet. And I'm on my Mac Pro right now, and I'm using Fiendphone through a virtual machine. So don't tell me that you can't because you're a Mac guy. You certainly can.
Well, you're the reason that Danilo finally can, because you know, you helped him out, get him set up, because, like I said,
that was
great
fun.
Guy, but he's a little, this type of stuff he just could care less about, which is sad because he does his own podcast too. Interviews. You'd think he'd want to sound better.
Worms.
He should be shamed in libertarian.
I think he just was.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT freedomfiends.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Blast off.
I don't know what that is.
Music, man. Yeah. We were talking earlier, emails and whatever. Because I just can't deal with like the nationalism crap and Trump and Hillary and conventions and, you know, can't carry guns. You can't bring whole fruit to the convention too. Isn't that strange?
Really?
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They don't want people throwing at them.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? I just can't deal with it all. But, you know, music, man, I can deal with that. And I was in a mood this morning. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I got up earlier than I normally do and actually got a lot accomplished and was 5 minutes early to work, which is very unusual for me because I'm usually 5 minutes late. But I was driving to work this morning and I just started listening to Soulfly, which is an awesome, awesome metal band. I would highly recommend them. It's Max Cavalera, and he was formerly of Sepultura, great 80s metal band. And I was listening to a cover of Refuse Resist, which is a Sepultura cover. And, oh, man. It's so good. Like, Inside the State, War is Created. Just the lyrics of that song.
Are we on the music
song.
Yet? I'm not.
Yeah, we're on to music.
I'm not done talking about Nick Kirkpatrick yet.
Well, this is what happened.
I don't know
when you
who
show
that
up late,
is.
Michael.
So, I think he's one of the guy. I think he's the guy that runs the Twitter fake, the fun fake Twitter accounts. Like, what are they? Ian Freeman googling, Mark Edge googling.
I thought that was you.
Huge Fiend fans. Really? You thought that was me? Why? Because I'm the only person that interacts with it. Not, I'm not the only person.
No. I do once in a while.
No. But Nicholas Kirkpatrick just sent me a donation for the Fiends for $17.77, which just about
awesome.
Almost pays for that atomic clock that I sent to Jeremy. And sweet. Why is it $17.77? Is it a penny more than $17.76, I guess? I don't know.
I don't actually know.
I like it. But I'm going to send him some
stickers.
Yeah, man. Stickers are the new thing, and they're fun, and they're just... Did I talk on air or off air to you guys about how fun stickers are and how much cheaper they are to mail?
On air.
That was the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forget. Yeah, and unlike, you know, it's unlike with Tony Styles, if you send money to his fake Feed the Children and Save the Sex Slaves of Africa thing that... Steve Miller says the money just goes to him. And, like, I can't find anything to say it goes anywhere else. And he's supposedly going to Africa soon. I think that, here's what I think. I think his partner, Kat, I think she believes it's real. And I think she believes that, I think she drives Tony to the airport and then leaves. And then he just, like, takes a taxi to that tranny hooker hotel downtown and the tranny hooker
kind of like Walt
motel.
Did in Breaking Bad.
Yes, exactly. And here's the thing, like Tony is sending all these fake lawyer letters to Steve Miller, you know, like threatening to sue him for slander and libel from, and it's like, you know, the letters are like from the firm of Emerson, Lake and Palmer or something.
Earth, Wind and Fire.
Earth, Wind and Fire. Yeah, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Yeah, that's a fine firm there in Omaha. But like these firms that don't exist, like you look them up and like, you know, they're registered. The domain is registered to Tony Styles. And, you know, if you look them up on like any lawyer listings, they don't exist. But here's the thing. If Tony Styles were actually, you know, to stop scamming for a minute and actually hired attorneys to try to sue anybody and it ended up in court, he wouldn't do that because the burden would then be on him to prove that the person had slandered him. And to do that, he'd have to prove that he's actually running a charitable organization.
Yep.
So here's the thing. When you donate to me, you are actually helping 1/64th African. You're not helping Africa at all when you give money to Tony Styles, but I am 1/64th African. I have the DNA results to prove it. Unlike him, he has no papers to prove anything that he didn't, papers he didn't generate at least. So yeah, send me money, people. And Nicholas Kirkpatrick, I think he's run, he's been into Pokemon for a long time. He's run this website, Bitcoin Pokemon and Gigi Allen's grave. He's run that for like 5 years. Like, he's not just jumping on the bandwagon. And I think he's a member of that radio show. What is it? The Jerky Boys?
No.
What are they called?
Puke in the Gang.
Puke in the Gang. Yeah, or is that Nick Ryder? You know, I've never seen a picture of Nick Kirkpatrick and Nick Ryder together, though. Or Nicholas or Nick either. I think they're all the same person.
It's a conspiracy.
Nick Ryder and Nick Kirkpatrick could be the same person. They're both like studly late 20s males who, you know, looks like all the ladies would love them. And I'm not just saying that to get more donations, but, you know, it might help.
I don't know who Nick Ryder is
either. I don't know who any of these people are that you're talking about. So
that's why we do. That's what syndicated radio is for. See, here's the thing. Like, the reason
it's not just you guys in the audience, man. I'm with you too. I have no clue.
I know. You know, there's a couple stations we're on that, a bunch of stations we're on have streaming links. And unlike Tony Styles, who claims to be a radio host, but he got kicked off of our network for not showing up to do his show. We actually do a show and we're actually on some stations. So, but some of them have streaming links. So, and we can, so you can even listen and like see that we're actually on and hear the commercials that they play. It's kind of interesting and hear what they play before and after us. Like, we actually follow Rush Limbaugh in one city. That must be confusing.
I love that. I love listeners. That.
Yeah. And then, but on two stations, we follow what I call, well, one we followed, we're not on the station, but we followed what I called the Grandpa Butt Dial Show. Which was like, it was like a 90-year-old guy and his wife or some woman driving around their town of Pensacola, Florida, and talking about like, oh, and that's the rib joint that they used to not let the Negroes in. I remember that when I was a little boy. Like, just,
I'd listen to that show.
Yeah, it's better than a lot of, it's better than Rush Limbaugh, but it's weird, and not just because they don't like Negroes. It's funny that they don't like Negroes because they're old and they're from the generation. South. It's that generation. But there's another show. There's two stations we're on that have a show right before or after us that's like the most popular show on the station. And it's like the bulletin board, like the local, like, you know, well, I've got some tickets here to, if you want to get a key copy made, I can get you 60% off on a key copy. Call in right now and we'll get you over to Bill's Keys and he'll get, like, really? Like, that's, you know, it's kind of like the grown-up version of the, like, announcements at school in kindergarten, you know? Like, it's so localized.
Adult kindergarten. I love
it. Yeah, it's so localized to that town. Like, you could never syndicate that, but it's kind of syndicated because it's on streaming. And I listen to it, and I'm like, wow, what a time to be alive. But that's why I kind of like to mess with what radio is. I like to talk about, like, our buddies on Facebook that nobody listening on radio knows. Some of the people listening on podcasts know, but nobody knows who Tony Styles is and why he's a bad
guy.
Wasn't
he the guy from Teen Wolf?
Yeah, and nobody knows why Nick Kirkpatrick is a good guy and why they should, you know, go to his Pokemon.
Well, we know now because he donated to the Freedom Fiends.
I know.
And he's probably like one of the five people that downloaded the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app, right?
Well, he reviewed it. He gave it a stunning review. We read the review last night.
Yes, that was great.
Yep. Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that. So we're going to talk about mosh pits, right? Explain what mosh pits are for old people.
Mosh pits are panic trance from that evil devil music, and you start spinning around in a circle and knocking people over.
And stabbing people, according to an episode of, what was that original CSI show from the 70s with the guy from The Odd Couple?
Nightwalker. No. Oh, I know
somebody,
what you're talking
somebody,
about.
Somebody, medical examiner. Quincy,
yes.
M.E.
Quincy Jones. Yeah.
Quincy Jones? No, that's good.
which was like one of the first police procedurals, but actually I think like Dragnet was the first police procedural.
Dragnet was the first one to watch Quincy.
But Quincy was the first medical examiner, like CSI kind of show. Like it actually influenced CSI, and he is a medical CSI in there. But there was an episode called Murder, Mayhem, and Punk Rock, where people, like somebody got stabbed, slam dancing, killed at some club. And it's pretty funny. It's the whole episode is up on YouTube. Go search Quincy Punk Rock and you'll find it. It's great. But yeah, man. So slam dancing is when people run in a circle and kind of bump into each other. And
slam dancing is a little different than moshing. I guess it's a generational thing, because like, I don't know,
slam dancing.
No, moshing came first, and then the slam dancing came later. You. Yeah. Well, we're in kind of that same age range, like. I remember when I went to my first few metal shows, like moshing was like a sort of circle, but not really. And you just kind of danced and bumped into people.
Well,
and
it's funny at big concerts, at a small show with like, say, under 200 people, you have one circle running in the middle of the, like right in front of the stage. Yep. And, but at big shows, you have a bunch of them. It's kind of like little galaxies.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, like, the last show, well, not the last show, but one of the most recent shows I went to, I took my daughter on her birthday to see Black Label Society, which is Zakk Wylde's amazing band. And there was two. No way. No way, man.
Isn't he the guy who said something homophobic when he's playing with
Ozzy? You're thinking of Phil Anselmo.
Nope, I'm thinking of Zakk Wylde. I'm going to Google it right now, but you go on.
Okay. Well, I'd be very
surprised. Doesn't mean he doesn't rock just because he's homophobic.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he was racist or homophobic. But anyway, so like we were down in the pit, and I made my kid come down there with me because I was like, hey, you know, you're 16, you got to experience a pit. And she stayed down there for a while, and she did all right. You know, I kind of stood around her with my arms up just to block all the crazy people or whatever. And then me and my older buddy were... we were doing stuff and we were down in the pit, and you know, I still get in there. I'm a little bit older than I used to be, and I fell down a few times or more. But I'll tell you, the minute I fell down, the minute my butt hit the ground, somebody was grabbing my hand and yanking me back up. That's the kind of camaraderie that you see in a good pit. And almost every show I've been to is like that, with the exception of a few. So then we saw a couple of circles, and the circle to the left was really crazy. Mostly younger people, but a couple older.
So there was
older.
A beginning slope and an advanced slope, like with skiing?
Is that exactly. Saying? And then the pit to the right was right, us old.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Now,
so we reach to the break.
Speaking of metal,
Chandler was telling us a ribald story about slamming in the pit with the kids.
About getting knocked down because I'm an old man.
But you get up again. Oh yeah, it's a young man's game. The last time I slam danced was in 1985. I was tripping. It was at a Circle Jerk show at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C., the old location on F Street, which is the location of the theater where Lincoln was killed. So it is hallowed ground. What is that? Six Empress Tyrants? But
Six Empress Tyrants, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So... and the singer was really, 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 really drunk, and it was really funny because it was Washington, D.C., and he came out like he was wearing like mirrored sunglasses, and he looked like he was playing like the Enorma Dome, and he like looked out over the crowd of a couple hundred people and said, "It's great to be here in Baltimore." And I started doing that with my band. I thought it was funny. I would pretend to be more wasted than I was. I would say like the city from the night before, and I would also for a little while I was doing the metal thing. Speaking of metal, of filling an empty whiskey bottle full of iced tea and guzzling it. And people were just like, think you're superhuman. Like, how can he drink that much whiskey and still stand, let it alone perform?
Yeah.
You know that trick?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done it to impress the women.
At a party or on stage? Both. It'd be funny at a party, because at a party, so like, you know, they can smell that it's not real. But
well,
yeah, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon when you follow a band around and you see a couple of shows, how they're like, oh, it's great to be in such and such a town. You're the greatest. Yeah. And you hear that in every city. I get it. Yeah. It's showmanship. And maybe it's sincere. It's the greatest for that night.
Speaking of phenomenon and slam dancing. So every slam pit I've ever seen, and slam dance, you're wrong. Slam dancing was the term before moshing, because I remember the term slam dancing from like 1982 and from like on TV from like the late 70s. And I never heard moshing until mid 80s. It was when metal took over hardcore punk rock.
I guess I'm thinking
when Black Flag added a second guitar player and all grew their hair and became a metal band. All the punk bands did that. All the bands that were guitar, bass, drum, and a singer added a second guitar player and grew their hair and became what was called crossover, which kind of like is what influenced Pantera and Slayer and all those bands that are metal but have some punk in them. DRI was kind of the missing link there, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. But here's my question. Hang on. It's important. Every pit I've ever seen, you know, it's basically it's people running in a circle to the music, because in an enclosed space, you know, animals want to run away, but they can't. So they run in a circle. It's physics. But speaking of physics, search your memory on this. Every show I've ever been to, and I've been to hundreds of shows where people been slamming in a circle, it's always in the Western Hemisphere, where the only shows I've ever been to. You see where I'm going with this, guys? In the Northern Hemisphere, sorry.
They're always going counterclockwise.
It's always counterclockwise. Yes, now, I know we have some listeners in Australia. I want to know, do mosh pits in Australia go clockwise? Is the Coriolis effect at work here?
It totally is, man.
That's
it
so totally weird.
That, well, that would make sense based on that one article that I was reading earlier about what? about how they could a couple of graduate students got together and tried to figure out how mosh pit physics could aid disaster planning, because it's based on this theory that by studying mosh pits, they found that the participants basically act like the atoms in a gas particle.
Tony Styles should do a fundraiser based on that. Instead of the hoary old, I'm trying to help people in Africa, he should raise money to do a study on comparing mosh pits to disaster planning, and then just spend the money on the crack whore at the no-tell motel in Omaha downtown there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Worms.
I expect to hear from the offices of a dunning letter in the morning from the offices of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Yeah.
Emerson, Lake, and Powell, if we want to get into some metal there, the crossover between prog and metal, which would be Rush, actually, but you know, it originally was Emerson, Lake, and Powell. Powell was also the drummer in Black Sabbath for a minute, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
There you go. We'll be back with hour two. Three old guys talking about metal.
Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
Worms.
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 Are you talking? tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
In the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org.
BIPCAT Beast. I had to say my cat's names.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Are those on the bingo board yet?
They should be.
Get on that.
So I'm working on a new show image for the show tonight.
Oh, good. What is it? Make sure to send that to me.
It's an image of my current work area as we're doing talk radio, and it's going to be entitled, This Is What Talk Radio Looks Like Now.
Nice.
A messy desk with a microphone? I think that's what it's looked like for about 100 years.
Yeah, a messy desk with guns, beer, microphones, show clock.
Guns and beer, the road to clutter. Yeah. Well, you know, a clean desk is the sign of an unhealthy mind.
I clean my desk like once a week and get it really nice and organized, but it just doesn't stay that way. I don't know what it is.
I don't even use my desk anymore. It's up in my bedroom, which I rarely go into, except to get clothes and put clothes away.
I know,
I sleep on the couch most of the time. It's just so much more convenient for me.
You sound really like, yeah, whatever. So why do people call you Eeyore?
Oh, well, that's why. Yeah, see, I was going to address that.
I am depressed.
Yeah, but it's not that I am depressed. It's when I get serious about things, or a lot of times when I get annoyed a little bit, I talk a lot.
Yes,
I talk
Michael.
A lot slow.
Yes,
exactly.
Michael.
And Eeyore, like I of all the
for people
Disney,
who don't know,
I was going to say
raised in a cave. Who's Eeyore?
I was going to say the Winnie the Pooh stories from when I was a kid, and everybody was a kid, and you know, most people know who Winnie the Pooh is.
Racist now. I think people get a Tigger warning and they can't show the kids that.
I don't know. But anyway, I was always a big fan of Tigger, who was the big exuberant, crazy tiger-looking thing. But most of my life, I have been compared more to Eeyore because the way I talk like that. Not that I am depressed, but when I talk to people, because Eeyore's thing was he would always lose his tail. And people would feel bad about it. He's a donkey. Yes. And when he would lose his tail, people would try to find it for him. And his lines would be like, it doesn't matter. You know, that was basically Eeyore. And one of my friends started calling me that again recently. It was just pretty funny. So
I'm reading
the
Wikipedia entry on him. He is generally characterized as pessimistic, gloomy, depressed, and old gray stuffed donkey.
Yep.
What happens when I get involved with politics.
You become those things, and your tail falls off.
Yeah.
We're talking during the break of like, you know, well, if you have to choose between Hillary and Trump, and I said, that's like having to choose between being raped by an ape, a male ape, and being, you know, and being raped by a female ape with a strap on, let's say, marital aid. And what did you say, Eeyore?
It's horrifying.
I've never heard Trump compared to a female ape with a strap on marital aid, but that's an interesting thought.
Nice. Get it out now while it's still legal, people.
Yeah, hey, no kidding, huh?
I said it the other night. I totally envision the Alien and Sedition Acts Part 3, you know, making a comeback pretty much no matter which one wins.
Yep. But
we were actually we were discussing that, and I was saying I think it's more likely with the Trumpster, and I think Chandler, didn't you say you think it's more likely with Hillary? Was that you, Michael? I don't remember. Somebody said.
Well, I think that Trump is just an actor there to play his part and invoke that sort of nationalism mentality. Hillary's going to be the president. I've said this since before there was even an election cycle. She will be the
president.
Are
you black, Chandler? Are you part black?
Not last time I looked.
I'm part black, but I don't smoke.
I'm
Newports.
Indian.
Apparently, you smoke. I know you are. You're the Indian of the group, Jimmy Carl Black. So,
oh, I can't believe you just said that.
What? There's a basis.
No, it's true.
Saying,
it's true.
Like, okay, if you think it's racist to say black people smoke menthols, you've never lived in a black neighborhood.
Oh, that's exactly true.
I won't say they all smoke menthols,
but I would say that urban blacks. You know, street blacks. Boy, street is this blacks. Even legal to say this
and,
kind of stuff?
On the stations, we're on, absolutely.
To answer your question, no, I don't. I'm not black because I smoke Newports. These just happen to be kicking around because I ran out of my cheap rollies.
Is this a marital aid on your desk? The gun's pointing at some, like, deflated large sack kind of thing. I can't really tell what it
is.
What is
that's
that?
A package of Ritz crackers.
Okay. I thought it was one of those things you make in prison that they call a...
No.
Is it a Jody?
No.
What do they call it? A Joey?
I don't
a Betty?
Know. I've never been
yeah,
to
I know what you're talking about.
Well, I'll ask my friend.
I can't remember the name. It was a girl's name, but I don't remember.
I thought it was one of those. I thought you're making one out of some cookie dough in a sock.
No. You're killing me.
Man. This is the show image for tonight, and the only thing you can see on your computer screen is two male cops kissing and feeling each other up.
So it's a Marilyn Manson video.
I know. That's what inspired me to go find that and name yesterday's show. Throw down your... Well, I actually said it in passing,
but I wasn't implying that.
I said the night before, I said, cops, throw down your badges, take off your clothes, and join us in the field of liberty. So,
yes, and I promptly begged you not to tell them not to take off their clothes, just change them.
Somebody who runs, Travis, who runs that Out of Context Fiends Twitter account, quoted that out of context, and I thought that'd be a good name for an episode about cops. Tell me about cops. Show me on the doll where the cops touched you.
No, I'd rather not.
Hey, it was bad enough
but cops are your friends, aren't they?
Right.
No.
Apparently, my image was too offensive for Facebook because I'm trying to log in now and I can't.
Oh, which one? That one that you were talking about?
It was that thing you made out of the sock and the cookie dough.
Yeah. My Ritz crackers.
Flagged.
I know. That's funny. I had a picture of my cat right after we got her, and we got her fixed, and her belly was shaved because they'd, you know, to fix her, they shave a little bit down there, and you could see a couple of cat nipples, and Jim Jesus commented, nipples showing, reported. Yeah.
Well, you know, for consistency's sake, they,
go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, for consistency's sake, they probably should, you know, ban that type of stuff, too.
So, what I think that this image with the gun and the cigarettes and the beer and the Ritz cracker pocket thing with cookie dough and a sock.
And the knife.
I think this sends the wrong message to today's youth. I don't think we should use it.
Should we take a picture of mine instead?
Well, because it's...
You don't have a desk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. That's even funnier. This is what radio looks like now. I don't have any of that other stuff. Well, yeah. I have some of that other stuff.
I'll take a picture of my desk. But so what kind
always,
of gun
yes,
is this?
We know.
I thought
it's always
you were a revolver
you.
Man. You've got an automatic here. And I'm using the old school cop term for a semi-automatic. They call a non-revolver semi-automatic an automatic.
That is my...
Is this a high point?
No, that is a Taurus PT-808, I believe.
Taurus.
That was my grandfather's.
I mean, before I lost in a voting accident.
Well, I do like revolvers, and I may have had one before I lost one in a voting accident. But that particular gun, there's a funny story behind it. My grandfather, who is, God rest his soul, has passed away now. In the last couple of years he was living, he liked guns like I do. But you know, when people get older,
the last couple years he was living.
Well, he liked guns his whole life, but he developed a penchant for handguns in his later years because he was old and living alone in a trailer out in the middle of nowhere. And as what happens with older people, you tend to get a little more forgetful and careless. And that particular gun, he actually shot his finger off with it and almost shot his buddy. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, he was showing his buddy this.
In the same incident?
Yes, in the same incident. He was showing his buddy this nice new, you know, Taurus PT-808 that he got, and he forgot that it was loaded and chambered, and he pulled the trigger by accident, I guess, and blew the tip of his finger off and almost hit his buddy.
Wow.
So it was at that point that my uncle said, hey, probably should just stick to the hunting rifles in the hunting cabinet, you know, and took that gun and said, why don't you take this?
While drinking. Yeah.
Right. Well, and my grandfather, even later in years, was known to imbibe coffee brandy, which is a native Maine or New England thing.
Native American. That's racist. Yeah. You say the fire water, the Indians like the fire water.
I don't know, but I'd love some
fire
water.
What percentage Indian are you?
Quite a bit, actually. Both sides of my family, I believe both of my great-grandparents were Native American.
You look it, so I believe it. Like, yeah. I have to provide, like, scientific proof that I'm part African, but you look like an Indian.
Well, it's because you're whiter than a paper, Michael, but that's...
I know.
It was funny.
I have a big nose and kind of, like, full lips. And
are you French? Yeah. Because us Frenchmen have big noses.
French-Canadian, yeah.
Yeah. There you go, man. Frenchmen. Yeah. I have a big nose, too, but that's because I broke it twice. That's a whole nother story. But, I went into my dad's shop one day, and I started talking to him. And I had my hair down. And I had a bandana, you know, folded just across my forehead, not draped all over my whole head. And I was talking to my dad, and then I left, and my dad's client said, oh, who was that nice young Indian boy you were talking to? He's like, oh, that's my son. Yeah, that's old funny. French woman.
So I just posted my my marvelous studio with my black cat, who matters, if you want to take a look, guys.
Nice.
I had to get way back to get everything in, but...
Yeah, I have low light, too. That was kind of a crappy picture, you know, low light and...
My cat... My camera does that anti red eye thing where it. I should turn that off because
so yeah, bright, you should so turn bright. That off.
It makes the cats look away, and I never get them. So I kind of want them with glowing eyes, looking like Chupacabra. Did you guys see the picture of my cat in the sink?
Yeah, I commented on that. Yeah, that was an amazing picture. All you could see was the glowing eyes.
We took like five pictures. It's hard to photograph black cats. There's actually.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know this till we got one. There's actually a bunch of websites called How to Photograph Your Black Cat.
Well, it's because they have a force field around them. They're magical.
That's true.
Yes. See, my little black cat has a white chin and
we're going out.
White tips on paws.
Bombs.
It's 164th black.
Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
No metal.
You already besmirched my character on a regular basis as it is.
I don't.
There, you've been.
So have you guys seen?
Nice.
Have you? Well, that's You guys are both serial killers, man. Look you're how organized.
I've always had this strong OCD thing. I'm not as bad as I used to. I used to be that right angle guy with my desk and stuff.
So you wash your clothes between every
on the show. You know what's really funny? Like if you look at my house, it's so disorganized. Like I try to keep it up, but it's just I'm a single white male, and it just whatever. Thank God for my kid who does the majority of the cleaning in my house, because it would be horrible. But I'm so disorganized. But if you actually look at my computer, I can't stand a cluttered desktop. I have to have all my files organized in a very specific manner. Like your friend that I helped set up the virtual machine so he could run Fiend Phone.
Yes.
I used TeamViewer to log into his computer, and I was just horrified.
TeamViewer, not Teen Viewer. That's what
I said. Team.
I'm just making it clear to the audience.
It's my accent because I say ka.
I make this joke anyway. Every time someone mentions that program. It's not you.
Yeah. Okay.
Not you. So I was in Canada.
When I saw his desktop, I almost had a stroke, man. I was horrified.
I can imagine. Like I said.
Yes, when I saw his desktop. Are you making fun of my regionalism, Michael?
Yes. Yes. Is that racist?
You regionist
against
Native
American
regionist
Mainers from Canada.
Native American French Canadian Mainers.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Do you ever see that Dana Carvey show clip? Skinheads from Maine.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I'm the one who posted it.
Google it.
Oh my God. YouTube it. My friend who just got out of prison, he was wrongfully in prison for growing a certain plant.
You don't know any murderers. You're so square.
No.
All your
no
friends
murderers.
In prison are in for like pot.
Drug deals.
I know murderers, man. I know murderers who've been in prison.
Yeah. Well, he shared that on my timeline.
I think the show should be called Three Old Guys Talking About Metal, and the show picture should be these three pictures.
Yes.
And then people can guess. They can match the
I don't think it's going to be really hard.
With the host.
I don't think it would be really hard to figure out.
Especially because we gave a pretty vivid description of what Chandler's look like.
I'm going to take a break. Have fun, guys.
A mess. Oh.
Okay, Michael. Nice talking to you.
Go do some medicine. I'm coughing hard.
Okay.
I've been muting it. But yeah, have fun.
Feel
talk
better.
About metal. I'll be back to interrupt you in 10 minutes.
Of course you will.
Okay.
Feel better, though.
Metal. So yeah, before Michael so rudely interrupted my train of thought, which I've long since lost, we were talking about metal, and I think I was listening to Soulfly do a cover of Sepultura's Refuse Resist, which is just an amazing song. If you're an ANCAP or whatever, just listen to that song. It's so great. But, I think I've talked about it on the show before. I'm a metalhead, for sure. I mean, I love Slayer. I love Soulfly. I love a lot of cool metal bands. I'm not really into the black metal as much. I think, like, the two, and I know I'm going to get just reamed for this, but the two most metal bands, black metal bands I listen to are, like, Death Clock and Cradle of Filth. I've listened to others. I have a friend who's really into black metal and death metal, and he knows all the crazy, death metal bands, but whatever. But I really strongly believe, and the older I get, the more reinforced it gets. Metal is the music of rebellion. There's a great album by this band called Arch Enemy, who up until recently had a female singer who could just belt them out, man. She's amazing. As a side note, I was at work one day and I was playing Arch Enemy, and this old lady I worked with came down the hall and she heard it and she was like,
"That's amazing."
She was like
a metal version of
not
Jeffrey
even
Tucker.
2 minutes.
Sorry,
oh my
go ahead.
Goodness.
Yeah, it hasn't been 10 minutes yet.
Get back on your corner.
Yes. So she comes down the hall and I'm listening to Anthems of Rebellion by Arch Enemy, and she's like, what is this music? And I'm like, this is Arch Enemy, man. I said, this is a chick singing. She's like, it sounds like the devil. She was all freaked out. And she was totally sincere. She was like really traumatized and freaked out. It was great. I loved it, so I turned it up a little louder. You know, my clients, I had a client, he you know, developmental disabilities, and he's sitting there rocking out to Arch Enemy with me. It's great.
Nice.
But I had this one kid, funny story.
Glowing endorsement for metal.
Yeah, no, man. I had this one kid. He, great, great kid. And he's an individual who has autism, and he's blind, and he was in a really bad mood. I was trying to get him to do some stuff. I think we were heading to the bowling alley, and he just wasn't having it. So we're driving down the road to the bowling alley, and I'm like, all right.
The hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Let's go. Is our Indian back?
Yeah, yeah, he's back.
So,
before I was so rudely interrupted by the market.
Right, go ahead.
No, I got to finish the story. So, just to recap.
You're a libertarian. You should love being interrupted by the market.
I really do, actually. So, to recap, I you know, you guys know I work with individuals with developmental disabilities, and I had this one cat.
Libertarians.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? So I had this one cat, and he's in a really bad mood. He's kind of non-responsive. He's just not digging life right now. So we're heading to the bowling alley, and we get in the car. And,
are you talking about the one that you have a picture of your cat, and it says Special Kitty? Is that you're talking about?
Not that cat.
He's not that special. He's special in a different way.
All right. Yeah.
Man, I went there.
So we're driving in the car, right? And I put on some Slayer because, you know, everybody loves Slayer, right? And I think we were listening to the album God Hates Us All. And we were listening to the song Disciple. And I look over and he's kind of starting to bob his head. You know, he's getting a little responsive. And then out of the blue, he just starts going, rah, 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 you know, and he's doing the whole Cookie Monster metal singing thing, mimicking the music. And he's getting right into it. So, you know, we get to the bowling alley, and he's fine after that. You know, we had a great time. So, Slayer heals, man. I'm telling you, metal all the way. So, yeah, it was really cool. But I really do... Like I was saying before, I think metal is the music of rebellion. There's a certain camaraderie in it. I've been to a lot of shows. I don't like just metal. I have a very eclectic music taste. I mean, I listen to classical. I listen to musical scores. I listen to trip hop, industrial, you know, a lot of different stuff. But man, there's something about metal music that just hits me. And it just gets you going. Do you feel that way, Jeremy?
I'm not as hard.
We have breaking news. Watkins, our Australia correspondent, just chimed in and answered my question about mosh pits in the Southern Hemisphere. He said they change directions.
I'm still trying to find out if
that means they can vary from night to night or if they suddenly change direction mid-slam. That'd be kind of interesting. But, yep.
Well, Mark's
a software programmer who makes Sleepyhead, which is the open source software for reading your CPAP machine's stats. Do you know about this?
Really?
Yeah.
I should check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's let me find it. I'll find it and get back to you.
That's cool. Yeah, definitely.
Well, anyway. I was about to answer your question. I'm not as big into metal as you are. But it's interesting because you had sent an article or two earlier about metal, and one of them, which was it? I think it was entitled, Does the Heavy Metal Genre of Music Affect a Person's Behavior? And it gave this whole rundown from the perspective of the audience, from the perspective of the band members, and the perspective of the interaction between the band and the audience. But one of the things it pointed to is exactly what you were talking about, is how there is definitely this camaraderie, which I saw too when I was bigger into it. I've kind of gotten away from just music in general over the years with getting into other things. I just don't find time for it anymore, unfortunately. I'm trying to rectify that. But the other thing I talked about was the fact that for a lot of people, especially in like the younger age brackets, who are either frustrated a lot or angry a lot of the times, metal seems to have a soothing effect on them.
It does.
And I could totally attest to that, at least anecdotally, because I've always been, I was given the nickname the angry young man at a very young age, and it's never really left me. And as it has been discussed before, instead of the resting bee face, I have the resting angry face all the time, like just pure, like I people always think I'm mad. But
yeah,
when I was younger,
I used to have an F me face. Now I have an F you face. Hey, speaking of good stuff, so Sleepyhead, you can get from the website, it's from sleepfiles.com, and it's available for, I know that Chandler will like this, and he's a CPAP aficionado. It's available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. How much like free software made by one guy is available for all three of those? Not many. Good software, and you can just take the little card out of the back of your CPAP machine and read it, and it'll also read pulse oximeters if you have one of those. You know, the things that go on your wrist and measure your oxygen overnight. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, you can buy a pulse oximeter for $100. And my doctor charges me $90 to send me home with a pulse oximeter and then read the results and give me like much less detailed info for one night than I get like for every night from this software.
So what's this cat's name again?
His name's Mark. He's a friend of mine,
Mark,
on Facebook, Mark Watkins. And and it's Sleepyhead. I love the icon for it. It's a drawing of a sheep with a CPAP mask on it.
Yeah, nice. I'm looking at it now. Well, thank you for your service, Mark.
Yep,
exactly.
Awesome. Yep,
the market at work. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Yeah. All right, go on.
So yeah, man.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Just to finish up. So when I was in my teenage years and stuff, when I was definitely even angrier than I am now, I found that when I working out wasn't enough to get the energy out of me to kind of calm me down, but I listened to metal when I worked out, and it actually did, like, it relaxed me to the point where I could have a really good workout, and then afterwards it would totally mellow me out. So like I said, I could totally attest to that it definitely had that soothing effect on me, and people always thought that was crazy. Like, I would crank when I was
go nebulize. Enjoy your metal. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was really ticked off about something, or like, so somebody really made me angry, I would go into my room, close the door, and just crank up something as loud as I possibly could to where it just started to hurt my ears, and I would just sit in the chair, and within 5 minutes I felt so much better every time just sitting there. It was like the greatest thing for me.
I'm going to tell you, there is no greater therapeutic benefit, and I learned this early in my teenage years, than putting on a nice set of headphones and listening to Black Sabbath. Because Black Sabbath, the original Black Sabbath, I mean, I like Dio, don't get me wrong, Dio's great, and that first album, Heaven and Hell, is awesome. It's not Sabbath, but it's awesome. But listening to the original Black Sabbath with headphones on, you know, whether or not you're consuming certain substances or not, is just so highly therapeutic. I can't recommend it enough. There is just something about it. You know, Black Sabbath, when we talk about metal, I talk to a lot of the younger kids, and you know, they like a lot of the different bands, some of which I've heard of and some of which I haven't. But Black Sabbath are the progenitors of metal.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And Trump is just as bad, and Hillary is like that.
Is but worse.
Her pantsuit stinks.
Yep.
Yes.
And so now that we've gotten that out of the way, so we don't get kicked off talk radio, you all should just listen to Black Sabbath, because, man, I'm telling you. You know, and it's funny, too, because my two favorite bands in the entire world are Black Sabbath and the Nine Inch Nails, and then I'd say Slayer is probably a close third, and then there are many others beyond that. But if you listen to Black Sabbath, like, particularly, I know a lot of Sabbath fans are not really keen on the Sabotage album, but there are two songs on that album, The Writ and Megalomania. Just put some headphones on, kick back and listen to that, and tell me how you feel after. It just takes you to another world, man. It's so amazing. And it's funny that you mentioned working out. I was never, when I was a teenager, I was never an angry young guy. You know, I listened to a lot of Grateful Dead and smoked a lot of dope and did a lot of acid, so I was never very angry. But I got angry
you
as I got older.
For middle age.
Yeah, when I got soberer, is that a word? When I got more soberer and got middle-aged and more aware of the world, I started to begin to get very angry. And, man, metal, I'm telling you. Like, I'll go work out at the gym. Well, I used to. I haven't in a while, as most people can probably attest to if they've seen me in the last year. But, yeah, man, listening to some Slayer or Soulfly or, you know, some good stuff like that, getting the adrenaline flowing, and then you just feel so good after, and you feel so much less angry. You're just it's an outlet, and I think that's one of the beautiful, beautiful things about metal music.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, like I said, I definitely can appreciate it. I've been trying to get back into music more, and I started with heavy stuff. Sabbath. I always thought Sabbath was great, but I got into it so much later that I stumbled upon Ozzy's solo stuff first, and I fell in love with him.
Yep.
So it took me a while to actually get back to the Sabbath stuff.
Oh,
and
I still
don't even think I've listened to it all.
I've seen Ozzy 13 or 14 times, and I think I've seen Sabbath probably 5 times.
Wow.
Original lineup, yeah. And they're great. You know, say what you will about Ozzy, but he's entertaining as hell on stage.
Yeah, well, I never got to see Sabbath, but I did see my very first concert was Ozzy. And I'm
nice.
15 years, his No More Tears, or the No More Tours tour.
The 92 tour?
Yes.
Oh!
I saw it. It was him. I only got to go because it was my friend's brother had the tickets, and he was supposed to go with his friends. And the first show, I can't even remember who the original lineup was, but one of the bands had to cancel. So they had to push back the show. Second time, his friends were still ready to go with him, but the other band from the first time around backed out. So they had to be canceled again. The third time around, none of his friends were available. He had no choice but to take his brother and me. And it ended up being Ozzy, Motorhead, and Alice in Chains, which was literally weeks before Alice in Chains. It was a last minute thing that they showed up, and it was literally weeks before what was their second album?
The guy died.
No. Their second album. Yeah. What was their second album?
Dirt. I think.
Yeah. Dirt. Yeah. Dirt. Right before Dirt came out. That was my introduction.
Yeah, that was a great album.
That was my introduction to Motorhead and Lemmy and Alice in Chains, and it just blew my. As a 15-year-old kid, the entire experience just blew my mind. I went crowd surfing for the first time. It was.
Incredible. Oh yeah, I didn't get to see Alice in Chains Motorhead till about 99. I was probably, I don't know, 21. But yeah, they were kick
but
worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
In the third act, real quick, you guys both rattle off your top 2 to 5 concerts.
All right, man. My top three concerts. My first concert was the Grateful Dead. Amazing, 100,000 plus people in an airfield. Totally amazing. My second top concert was the first time I saw the original lineup of Black Sabbath. When they played Children of the Grave, I lost my stuff.
Thumbs up. All right, Jeremy.
No. Wait, I got to give you my third. My third concert was Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie, and they performed 4 songs together. 2 Nine Inch Nails songs and 2 Bowie songs. Totally blew my mind. Amazing show.
Nice. And you're just doing 3, right?
Yep.
Because I have 7. All right, Jeremy, go ahead.
My number one I already mentioned before was the Ozzy Motorhead and Alice in Chains. Well, my first show ever, still the greatest one for so many reasons. Second one was Roger Waters in 98 rain at Jones Beach.
The real
Beach,
Pink Floyd.
Outside stadium at Jones Beach Theater in the rain. After that one, 2 years before, same venue in the rain, Jethro Tull. Spectacular show, and those tickets I won by harassing the DJ of the local radio station, who was this cute girl. I harassed her for like an hour and a half at my friend's at a college mixer thing that my friend's mom was like the dean of, so we all got to go. And I harassed her for 3 hours until she finally gave me the tickets.
Yeah, you got 2 more.
Yeah, I do get 2 more. And you know, you guys may laugh at me at this, but a couple of these, but whatever. Zach Brown, 2009, in a place called the Tower 5. In it's a tiny little club in the city.
One more.
And my first time seeing Jimmy Buffett at Jones Beach, because it was a party for all day long. Yep.
I got a couple of minutes here. Top 5. Well, first of all, my first 2 concerts. First concert, Elton John. In Rich Stadium, Buffalo, New York, 1975, outdoors, raining, with my dad, 11 years old, 78,000 people. My dad was worried we were going to get arrested because people were smoking pot around us. Like, to be a rough boat. All right, second concert, 2,000 people in Buffalo. I forget the name of the theater, but it was Journey and Montrose were on the ticket, on the bill. And then there was this unknown band opening up who was added at the last minute called Van Halen. That was great.
Awesome.
They were like just fresh out of the clubs. And I don't think the record is even out yet. Okay, top concerts I've ever seen. Butthole Surfers and Dead Kennedys at WUST Radio Hall, probably around DC. Top 2,000 people. It's now the 930 Club location, but tires got slashed. It was in a black neighborhood. They resented us being there, but it's a great show. Let's see. Okay, Nick Cave and the band. There's 2 were at the same location, the I-Beam in San Francisco. My band used to play there a lot. It's small, like 500 people maybe. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds in the late 80s, and Screamin' Jay Hawkins at the same club in the late 80s. Johnny Cash at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, like right before he died, you know, like last tour he did before he died. Paid $75 for 2 tickets. Most have ever paid to see anything, but it was worth it. And Jesus Lizard with my band Bomb opening up for them at a Unitarian Church basement in DeKalb, Illinois in 1987. And there were about 80 people there. So those are my top five shows. Also, Corrosion and Conformity and hardcore band called The Faith, Ian MacKay's little brother's band.
Yeah.
At not Constitution Hall, some dump in D.C. On, God, when was that, like 84, 85?
Corrosion of Conformity, they opened up for Ozzy the first time I saw them. They were pretty good. I got to get them that.
They kind of went through some changes, though. They were a different band by that time. This was back when Mike Dean was the bass player and the singer, and they were more hardcore punk than metal. They later kicked him out and got him back as just a bass player.
You know, that's funny. You said $75 was the most you ever paid for a ticket. You know what the most I ever paid for a ticket was?
What?
$175 or no, $127
a piece. That's cheap these days, man. People.
No, that was for Ozfest. Then a couple of years ago, I paid $112 a ticket for Nine Inch Nails.
Most of the shows I went to were like paid $4 or $5 to get into if I paid at all.
I paid over $200 back in the 90s multiple times because I was a big, you know, Stoner.
Jimmy Buffett and, fan?
I followed him. Go ahead. I am. Whatever. I don't care. It's my happy music.
Parrothead.
Dave Matthews have always been my happy music. So
I'll tell you about the time I did a show with Tinsdale. Is that his name? The violin player?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw
the club one time. Boyd Tinsley.
Yeah. Check out Magnolia Electric Company. Telling you,
I don't know what that is. Is that a band?
You should. Oh yes, really good band. Jason Molina's band.
Is that a software company?
Worms.
Yeah. Got it, baby. Order stickers. Go to the Fiend site. Click on the link. It says stickers.
Stickers.
Worms.